This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We are back on match day as Arsenal take on Chelsea in the Premier League in their fifth game between now and the end of the season. Fifth ultimate, you know that word, penultimate? We're going with fifth ultimate game of the season. But there's also some big news in the youth team because a certain someone decided to pop up and create a viral moment last night. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this, as this is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show. Joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you so much as always for doing so and joining this to make it a morning routine of yours. And I hope that you will drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here, because I've been crunching the numbers. I've been looking back over the last like few episodes this week, in fact, and like, you know, we got like one thousand. I think it was about 14,000 views yesterday. And we got 1,400 likes. So that means that one in every 10 people, which is pretty incredible, are liking the video at the moment, which is unreal. So thank you for that. But I do want to say, you 9 people, what are you doing? Make sure you drop a like on the video and subscribe if you're new. Help us to hit 1,000 likes every single day. Good morning to those joining us live in the chat box. Addy and Late Bloomer, Pikahu, Clincy, Mubarak, Blackshine, Errol, Damien, Paul, Jose, Pat, Kevin, David. We've got Arasilki and Steve and Alpha Dan, Stevie, Martin, Adegoke, Robert, Rich, Peter, Wayne, and plenty more of you guys and girls as well. Really appreciate your time, and it's incredibly humbling for you to continue to tune in and watch the show. Even if 9 out of 10 of you, every 9 out of 10 people aren't liking the video. It's just behavior. I question. I don't know what you're doing. It's quite mad. If you are catching up on the show, please make sure you drop a like of the video and of course, leave a review if you're listening on catch up and all that lovely YouTube stuff. Anyway, that's enough plugging. That's enough selfishness on my part. We're going to jump straight into today's stories. And we start with the game that was commentated on by a certain Mr. Harry Simeu last night. I wonder if he thought, as he was trotting up to Blackburn yesterday with Perry Groves, that he would be commentating upon quite the viral spectacle. It was, I think, the most watched under-21s game of the season. Perhaps it was streamed on the Arsenal website for those that were watching, with a certain Harry Simeu, as I say, commentating on the game, doing a fantastic job. And they drew 2-2 with Blackburn, and nothing happened. It was just a viral clip because of the scoreline. There's a really nice penalty that we saw, a couple of poor pieces of defending for our goals. And I don't think anything of note really went down during the game. Oh, wait. Yuri and Timber decided to start and then score an absolutely incredible goal. Picking up the ball on the left-hand side, lovely little flick and turn inside before curling an effort into what would be described as top bins. If it was an episode of Soccer AM, it would indeed have been in that really been hung up in the corner of those goals as they used to do when the show was running. Quite the incredible strike. Perfect. I don't think I've hit a cleaner hit effort in an Arsenal shirt for quite some time. What an effort it was. And immediately what we saw was the reaction being, if only. It was kind of, if only we'd had Timber throughout the course of the season. And it's a fair point. You know, I don't want to linger too much on that because, you know, we've got a deep squad, we've got a big squad, but £38 million worth of investment that we've been missing throughout the course of this season has obviously been very much missed. And I think that he offers something stylistically different to obviously what we've already got. I think he's an excellent player in both directions going forwards. I think defending, he's shown some already for us in the Community Shield. I think he locked down really well that Arsenal left-hand side. I know Cole Palmer, of course, ended up getting the goal from there, but I think he still was defending excellently on that flank. But we've missed him significantly throughout the course of the season. And there was some, a bit outside of just the goal, it was the touches, the passes, the positioning, the movement, just the maturity in the performance. And it obviously shines amongst a group of kids in a youth game, but unbelievable goal. And a brilliant, brilliant piece of hype work that's been done, of course, by him, which is quite incredible. But yeah, that's that is what it is. It's fantastic to see. Very fantastic to see him back. And hopefully he'll be back very soon on the Arsenal stage on a senior level. We don't know. Mikel Arteta, of course, conducted his press conference and said we don't know whether or not he will be back for the Spurs game. But we'll have to wait and see. It's quite a big jump to go from a youth game to a senior game. But 45 minutes, well done, Jurrien Timber. Now, Mauricio Pochettino has been addressing the media and speaking specifically about Cole Palmer, who there seems to be some serious doubts about whether or not he will indeed be available for the game against Arsenal. He missed training yesterday because he was ill. He's so very, very frustrating indeed. He says, if I were them, I would be motivated to go there tomorrow and show that this is Chelsea Football Club, not Cole Palmer Football Club, is what Pochettino said regarding the matter, which is quite funny. But he said, it's a good challenge if Palmer isn't available tomorrow. If I were his teammates, I'd be motivated to go there and show what we are. But he said that he needs to be assessed tomorrow morning, but I don't believe he can be involved. Even if he is good tomorrow, maybe he won't be in condition to play. I hope he can recover from this situation as soon as possible and be ready to play. It's a big, big loss. Malo Gusto is another potential doubt for Chelsea, who are without Reece James, could be without another right back. It could be a very interesting back four for Chelsea. I hope he's not fit, Palmer, because he's a fantastic player, and that's a credit to him and a testament to his season as well. So let's wait and see what the lineups are tonight. But at the moment, it could be that Cole Palmer FC is without their star man. Now, Bukayo Saka, despite some concerns over an injury at the end of the game against Wolves, trained yesterday. He was pictured in training with the Arsenal team. He was there and working. And so hopefully he'll be fine to play for Arsenal tonight against Chelsea, because he is not getting any rests. No rests are allowed whatsoever at Arsenal. You have to play every minute of every game, just like he did against Wolves, despite the fact he desperately needed a rest. Mikel Arteta's press conference also took place, as I mentioned. He was asked about kind of how the players have responded. And he says, it's the same messages. Keep doing what we've been doing. Focus on the game, on the task. Prepare well for the game. And that's what we've tried to do with the time that we've had available. And the boys look ready to go again. He was asked about Cole Palmer and he said, I don't know. I have no control over their players' availability. We can only control ours. Whoever they put out there, when you look at the squad they have, the quality they have, it's great. I think they're doing very, very well. I think they're doing much better than people talk about, and it will be a tough match for sure. I can't help but smile when I see Arteta just like talk so, you know, gloriously praisingly of Chelsea, of Man United, of teams that have massively underperformed and just looked pretty dreadful throughout the course of the majority of the season. He has to be magnanimous. He has to say these things, but you can't help but be a little bit, a little bit smirky. He is really good friends with Mauricio Pochettino, so of course he's going to be very complimentary of them. He says, I think the journey that those clubs are very, very different regards kind of where Chelsea are with Poch and then when Arsenal were at the start of his time with Arsenal. Nothing to compare, in my opinion. It's a huge admiration for Mauricio because I've known him since 23 years ago and I really wish him all the best. He's an incredible manager, he's a huge leader, and he will inspire the club to get what they want to get. That's for sure. He was asked about the win against Wolves and he said, says, in terms of the size, it was quite good. It really meant a lot to us, and we are in a great position in the Premier League. We've been like this for 9 months, 9.5 months, where we want to really give it a go, a real go, and be really determined to do what it is in our hands to try and lift that trophy. And tomorrow we're going to have a very tough opponent in front of us, and we will try to overcome that opponent. I've said before, if Arsenal can get through the three games of Wolves, Chelsea and Spurs, if Arsenal can win those three games, I think we've got a great chance. But it is these two games here, Chelsea and Spurs, which are going to prove to be the absolute biggest tests, I think, of the season. I know Man United is coming up, but we will have a whole week's rest before that game, which is a rarity for this club. We have not had that in quite some time. So I look forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed, being in a position where we can use that rest and have still won all of our games up until that point. So let's wait and see if that turns out to be the case. Just lastly, I do want to pick up on the quotes about Jurrien Timber and where he's at. He was asked about if he could play against Spurs on Sunday. That's a quick step, he said. Let's see how he feels today. He's been training really good. He looks ready. He needs that exposure. And after that, we'll assess whether that game comes at the right time or too fast. We'll try to get him with us for the final games. Absolutely brilliant to see him back. And let's see if he can make an impact between now and the end of the season. Final story, just a bit of transfer news. There were some reports yesterday suggesting that Arsenal were making some moves for the likes of Bruno Guimaraes. Saw a number of outlets reporting this story that Arsenal had approached him. Team News and Ticks, the very well connected Team News and Ticks. If there is an ITK account out there you can usually look to for some reliable information, it is TNAT. And they quote tweeted this story that Ben Jacobs reported initially, saying they'd approached the camp of Bruno Guimaraes, and says Arsenal made contact with multiple targets and their clubs in the last week or so to see if a deal is possible. Bruno Guimaraes is on that list. No idea about the agreement/clause. Yeah, I would welcome Bruno Guimaraes with open arms to Arsenal. I think he's a fantastic player. Questionable person in terms of kind of his behaviour at times. Maybe that would be curbed somewhat if he was to arrive at the club. But I think in terms of adding a midfield of Odegaard, Guimaraes and Rice, is something quite special. The line-breaking passes he provides, he can shoot from outside the box. He's an absolute nuisance. And having players like him and Havertz in the team, I think adds a bit of an edge to Arsenal as well that we've lacked in recent seasons. So I really would be very open to Bruno Guimaraes. I know people don't necessarily like the guy, and you don't have to, but you can appreciate what he's like as a footballer. And I really do appreciate his quality. And I really wish we'd assigned him before even Leon signed him when he was at Atletico Paranaense. I really wish we'd signed him from them before he'd gone to Leon, and then his price increased dramatically. But two clubs later, maybe we'll end up getting him. We'll have to wait and see for the summer. But he is one of those teams that is open to a move to a Champions League club. One to look out for. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes at McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, jumping into the chat box for part two, tackling some of your questions for today's show. Ollie says, we need Eze from Crystal Palace. He's a fantastic player and certainly would be one that I would be keen as well to see at Arsenal. Hugh says, why are so many tickets on the exchange for tonight's game? I'm really glad you've raised this point, Hugh, because I think we might end up sparking a bit of a part two ticket discussion, which we end up doing quite often on the channel. But I did see the tweet from Red Action yesterday. It was quite, I think it was around midday yesterday. They tweeted saying, in the midst of our wobble last season, we had a midweek home match with Chelsea and the ticket exchange availability was the highest all season. Same again this week. Amongst all the ticketing debate, do fans want to come to watch Arsenal or only come and watch Arsenal when we are winning? To which one of the other people that I follow, Chief on Twitter, Ali Adia, tweeted, says, I think most people can't make it due to the new rearranged date. To which Red Action replied saying, would they make it had we have beaten Villa? Which is exactly my point. Now, of course, there are going to be fans that genuinely cannot make the rearranged fixture and so therefore have planned things, have got things going on. So they've put their tickets up on the exchange. There is something in this, though. I definitely think there is something to be said about this. I absolutely empathise with Red Action's point of view on this. There's so much clamour for tickets. There's so, all the time, it's always like, can't get a ticket, I can't get a ticket. Well, you can now, because there is plenty of tickets available, supposedly, on the exchange. So if you want to go tonight, keep looking at the exchange. Of course, I believe you will have to have entered the ballot, unless they've changed it for this game specifically because it was a rearranged game. But if you would like to go, go onto the ticket exchange and check if there's a ticket available for you to go and grab, because it's certainly worth it. And we need every single voice that Arsenal can get tonight at the Emirates, because it's still important. It is strange. And I empathise with that point of view, because we lose two games. We lost against Bayern. We lost against Aston Villa. And the interest suddenly in Arsenal to go to the game drops dramatically. I know that there are fans out there that, from my perspective, would love to be coming to the Emirates. Not even from my perspective, from their perspective, would love to fly and have the money to be able to travel and get to the Emirates Stadium to go to their first ever Arsenal game. And they would do anything to grab hold of one of those tickets to see their first game and to tick that off their bucket list as an Arsenal fan that cannot go to every game because they are, you know, because they lost in the lottery of Arsenal-related birth locations, if you like. But it's incredibly frustrating, I know, for fans to see tickets going up on the exchange when they wish they could be there and wish they could go. And it comes back to that whole discussion about, is the ballot the problem? Is the ballot the problem with the atmosphere in the stadium? No, it's definitely not. It's 100 million% not the reason as to why the atmosphere is nowhere near as good as it maybe was during the first half to the latter stages of last season. It's nothing to do with the ballot, in my opinion. A, because there's 40,000 plus season ticket holders in the ground, which makes up the large proportion of those fans. And we have always systemically had this issue with the atmosphere not necessarily being great at the Emirates. And it's nothing to do with the ballot system, that's for sure. But we need to make sure we're buying up these tickets. People need to go to these games. And it is a fair point to bring up that when things have dropped, all of a sudden, that demand has decreased. So I really hope that that we have a sellout crowd tonight and that every ticket, every seat is filled. So if you want to go tonight, go on to the exchange and make sure you try and grab a ticket, because this whole ticketing debate suddenly goes out the window for plenty when this type of situation comes up. Let's go to Kazang says, is it true that Chelsea are honouring the angry rant man who was a diehard Chelsea fan who recently passed away? I believe so. Let me try and find Tom Overend, who is a very well-versed Chelsea supporter. I have a fair few back and forths with on social media sometimes. I believe he tweeted out some information about this. Yes. Tom said it's been possible to put Abradeep, I believe is the guy's name, who sadly passed away recently. Tom tweeted saying, is it possible to put his family in touch with Chelsea to arrange a tribute to Abradeep at Stamford Bridge at an upcoming game and get him included in a match day program? And I'll keep everybody updated. So if you want to get updates on that situation, Tom at Tovers98 is the person that you need to go and follow. But yeah, very sad news to see a fellow content creator. Whether you're a fan of content or style of content of Abradeep, we entertained a lot of people. And it's always sad when sadly we lose somebody. So thoughts are with his family and friends at what is, I'm sure, a very, very difficult time. And I can't imagine losing somebody at such a young age still. So, yeah. But thanks for bringing that up, Kazang. And if Chelsea are indeed paying tribute, fair play. fair play to him. Late Bloomer Story says, Tom, why can't we keep more clean sheets at home, considering that we are so consistent away from home? It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's very interesting indeed that we've struggled to keep clean sheets at home. Is it the pressure and the expectation of the Arsenal crowd being there? Is it a mental thing? It's a really intriguing point that I don't necessarily have an obvious answer to. Away from home, our team's a little bit more open to be like in terms of because they're probably trying to attack Arsenal more when you're at home, which opens up more spaces for us to attack, and then we can get a lead and dominance in the game. Whereas at home, they sit back more. They try and hit on the counter. Is that maybe as a tactical reason behind why that happens? And we're more vulnerable at home. So maybe that's something to do with it. Nadim says, good morning, Tom. It's my birthday today. Last time on my birthday, we won and we will win tonight. Well, Nadim, happy birthday, my friend. Enjoy yourself. And I hope the Arsenal can bring home 3 points for you. Lai says, Tom, there's been a lot of opinions about how Arteta never really rotated the squad. Do you agree? It's less for me about rotation. It's more about how he substitutes players in games. I think there's opportunities to substitute earlier that he hasn't taken to save significant minutes would be what I would say, more than rotation. I think the in-game side is a bigger point of contention for me with Arteta than the rotation is. Because I just don't think we have necessarily the squad to rotate as effectively as what some fans think we should rotate until we add some more players and replace some key players in the squad when we won't be able to do it. But substitutions definitely could be better. Grantley Poos, who's been a member now for 7 months, says, hey, Tom, Jesus or Havertz at number 9 for tonight? Havertz for me. We did manage to get a preview show out for you tomorrow. So just to quickly run through what I'd go for. I'd go with, obviously, Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel. I think if Tomiyasu's fit, I'd be tempted to go there. If not, I think Kivior is fine to start. I think we need probably a more defensive mind. I don't think Zinchenko should start, especially if Cole Palmer does turn out to be fit. They've got a lot of, you know, Madueke, Mudrik, a lot of pace in those wide areas. I think Kivior would be fine to start this one. I would go with Partey if he's fit and available. I'd go Partey, Rice, Odegaard would be my midfield three. I think Partey would be really useful to break those lines. And then Saka, Havertz and Trossard would be my front three. Trossard's just in such good form. I just think you have to start him. It just absolutely has to start. And you can't drop Havertz. I'd love to see Havertz score against Chelsea, by the way. That is something I am clamouring to see. Would very much love to... would love to see it, but maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't. I really do hope that we see Havertz pull one off tonight, because pulling a goal off would be fantastic. Emeka says, we can take more risk at home due to pressure to score, and that may likely be the reason that we concede more. Wes says, so you can only sign 2 players in the summer transfer window. Who would they be and why? Do they have to be realistic signings? 2 players. I think in that case, you'd probably keep Partey for an extra year. In that case, you would keep all the defenders. You've got Timber coming in. You'd probably promote somebody in the youth team, I guess. Maybe Nwaneri, get some more minutes. I'd sign the forwards for me, I think. And that's, because I think the thing with the midfield is that you can keep Partey for a final year of his deal if you're only limiting me to 2. So keep Partey, Jorginho, Rice, Odegaard, keep Vieira. Maybe you let Smith Rowe go and promote Nwaneri. I just think there's something more about Vieira that's a little bit more unknown, whereas Smith Rowe, I kind of know what we got. And I wouldn't mind. I don't think he fits really into the team. But yeah, I'd then go with a right winger, probably a Xavi Simmons, if possible. And then Isak. So Isak and Simmons would be the 2 that I'd add to the team. That's what I'd go with if I could only sign 2 players. They would be the 2. Nizza Keats says, I can't believe that we're not linked to Leon Bailey. I think he would be a perfect Saka backup. He has pace and doesn't play week in, week out. It's mainly because he's only recently, has he signed a new deal with Aston Villa? He's about to sign a deal with Aston Villa. 26 years of age. He's been very good. I don't think Villa would sell him. I don't think they need to sell him. So I think that's probably the reasons as to why. HFN says, Partey and Jorginho are off. I think there's a chance maybe one of them goes. I'd be surprised if both left, because Arsenal are in discussions with Jorginho over a brand new contract, by the way. They do have an option to extend his deal by an extra year, but there is discussions ongoing about extending this to a further year, if indeed Arsenal are successful in those talks. Jason says, if Chelsea happen to get a penalty against us, there'll be a brawl for who will take the spot kick without Palmer. Imagine, yeah, that would be quite the scene. Hopefully we don't give away a penalty, though. MM says, I hate the fact Chelsea turn up with the big games, but awful against the bottom 10. It's going to be a challenge tonight. You know, they do tend to turn up against the bigger side. So, yeah, that's for sure. Cross Jonkey says Aston Villa are the club with the upside down badge at the moment. Yeah. Sohan says I would prefer another Odegaard-esque midfielder who is a box to box midfielder. I was trying to work out what that meant and can keep hold of the ball and create as well. I think that obviously adding someone like that is preferable if we can. Vieira is there. I know that people aren't necessarily convinced by Vieira. He's not necessarily had too much of a chance. I think there's a big, big preseason for Fabio Vieira this year. How he gets minutes, is he going to be able to make an impact in the preseason? And then can he stay fit? Because that was the biggest problem with Vieira this season, is he had that huge injury. I think it was a double injury. He injured two separate things in the same moment. Kept him out of the whole festive period, kept him out into the new year. And he just wasn't at that point able to get any minutes at all. So it's a big preseason for Vieira. And it could be a last preseason for Vieira. Who knows? Myself says, which is not me, by the way, just a person with the account called Myself, says, is it bad that I still think that there is still a possibility for us to lose even when we're facing a team like Forest, for instance? Of course, because it's football. It's the Premier League. Anyone can win against any team. That's the reality of the game. And you're never going to escape that, which is why when obviously we lost to Villa and there was this humongous meltdown online, it really wasn't contextually equivalent to what we can really expect. Arsenal had avoided defeat in every single game up until that point in the league. They'd only dropped points in one game, which is away at Manchester City. We lose one in April, despite winning every game in January, every game in February, and drawing against City. Was it in March? I think it was the last game of March, wasn't it? And then in April, of course, we lose to Villa. But yeah, I found it really odd. The scale of the meltdown after Villa was not contextual to what is just the reality of the league and the reality of our situation. Mark says, Tom, do you favour Isak over Gyökeres? Is it about price, skill, or intangibles? I would prefer Isak over Gyökeres, only because I think Isak gives you more guarantees of, you know, that transition. He's already got Premier League experience. He's still of a very good age. You can also play in a wide area, which gives you options. The only downside with Isak is his two things, is the price, the difficulty to sign him, and the injury record which exists. But a very close second would be Gyökeres in my list of centre-forwards. I've never really talked to Isak too much highly about, because I just think it's how unrealistic it is to get that deal potentially done. But Isak would be the number one. But realistically, I don't know how viable that transfer is. So Gyökeres tends to stand out for me amongst the potential options. Sohan says, Vieira needs minutes. He's another one of the players who should get more opportunities as a sub. Pre-season and early season, Vieira was special. He had a really good start to the season and then just sadly suffered with so many issues that just kind of meant that he fell away somewhat. Wes says, Havertz, I think, only scored 32 goals for Chelsea. He's scored 10 for us so far. In that statistic, chances he'll score against them as well. I hope so. Jason says, Tom, do you think Rice is better suited in his defensive role or taking on the Xhaka-esque position? I think that he's great in both. I think we necessarily need to lean one way or the other. I think he can perform excellently in both roles. I think that the future of Rice will very much depend upon the midfielders that we go for. If Arsenal are able to go and sign a fantastic six, I think you might see Rice play more so as the eight and vice versa. So, yeah, I think his future very much depend upon the signing that we make in the midfield. Peter says, Tom, I've seen reports in the news that Arteta would like to sign Bernardo Silva. How likely do you think that is? I don't think it's very likely. I don't know why Man City would allow him to leave for Arsenal. It's very different to Jesus and Zinchenko. Silva is one of the best players in the league and a guaranteed starter basically for them every week. I also think if he was to leave City, he wouldn't leave for another Premier League team. I think he would probably go abroad somewhere like Barca or Real Madrid. I think he would probably end up moving to. Russ says, hi Tom, what do you think about the rumours for Bruno Guimaraes from Newcastle? They're without a doubt, there's true. There's interest. There's been interest for the last 4 to 5 years in Bruno Guimaraes from Arsenal. They've never stopped liking him. The difficulty is now he plays for another Premier League side who are going to ask for a lot of money. But the interest is certainly real. Kyle says, Tom, I believe the Villa loss was down to Arteta's selection. I don't. I think it was down to Arteta's second half game management, personally. I think the starting lineup was fine. We dominated the first half. We should have been up by halftime. The second half was the reason why we didn't win, and that was Arteta's in-game management for me that cost us in the end. Mark says, why do you think Martinelli has fallen off the boil? It looks like his willingness to attack the end line is down. Maybe he's been told not to do that as much by Arteta. I think, obviously, he was rushed quickly back from that injury he suffered. That, I think, has impacted him. I also think he's had an inconsistent partner on that left-hand side. You think about Bukayo Saka, every game he starts with Ben White. On the left-hand side, Martinelli, if he's starting, which he isn't necessarily always starting, he's got a different left centre mid, he's got a different left back. That relationship, those partnerships aren't as stable, aren't as established as what White and Saka is, and Odegaard is well involved there too. And I think that is potentially thing. And I think Arteta actually alluded to that in his press conference. He was asked by Jordan from The Athletic actually about this. And he was asked about that left-hand side and why it's not been yet. He says, on having more change on the left side than the right, he says, well, the fact is as well that we've had a lot of injuries on that side. Obviously, the fact that we haven't had Thomas for 6-7 months has affected us in a way to play Declan in a different position. But I look at it as something really positive that we have the possibility to change players and find different dynamics and units within the side. And that's really important, is that that left-hand side, of course, has got lots of different dynamics and different formations and different choices and depth. But we haven't been able to establish those same levels of partnerships on that left-hand side like we have on the right-hand side. Wegbru says, Tom, which do you prefer? A double pivot of Rice and a more defensive midfielder profile like a Fofana, a Zubimendi or Guimaraes, a Luiz, or an attacking midfielder in the mode of Eze, Paqueta and Madison? It's a good question. It's worth asking. It depends upon the opponent, I think, as well. If you're going up against a big six side, you probably go with your first set of options. If you're going up against a team that you're expected to dominate and have plenty of chances, you probably lean towards the second group of options. I think it's important to have both. If I was asked which of them I'd sign in the summer, I lean more towards the defensive side because I think there's a chance that Partey, Jorginho or both could leave. Elneny's obviously leaving as well in the summer. So I think there's more of a scope for Arsenal to look to bring in a deeper-minded midfielder. But I think any of the options that you've said there would be decent. For Fofana in particular, you know I like him. Guimaraes would be an excellent signing. Luiz would be another excellent signing as well. And Zubimendi is more of an orchestrator, more of a six as a link passer, more like Jorginho than Rice. But I think I lean more towards the first group of options because of the context of our midfield future. Dwayne says, Tom, do you think we haven't been strongly linked to a 6-8 because there isn't a standout one? I think that's the same for pretty much every position in the field, Dwayne. There isn't necessarily a Declan Rice, as I talked about before. There isn't a Declan Rice for this summer window for us. It is going to be really interesting to see who Arsenal go for. You know, in the summer of 2023, Rice was the standout. In 2022, Jesus was the standout. These were clear players that we'd planned for a long time to go for, and they were our number one targets, and we got them. We don't have a number one target in my mind this summer. We have a number of players on our list. There'll be some that are towards the top of the list, of course, that they'll certainly be looking and measuring and analysing the variables of those signings, and then of course doing the required kind of discussions and talks that need to go on officially and unofficially, and then they'll make a decision. But in 2021, you had players like Ben White that were like standout candidates that we definitely wanted to sign, and that's why we went and got those players done. We wanted Odegaard at the start of the window. Real Madrid said, no, we're not selling him. So our next best option was Emi Buendia. He ended up going for Aston Villa, of course. But then Martin Odegaard became available again come the end of that window. There was a lot of talk about James Maddison in that window in 2021 as well. But Odegaard was always the number one target. He was at the start of the window. But when it was when he came back around as being available, Arsenal went straight in and got their man. And that was obviously one of the best signings Arsenal have ever made. Martin Odegaard will go down as one of the top 10 signings in Arsenal history, I guarantee you. Olu says, hey, Tom, interesting question. Kivior is average at defending out wide and offensively as well, pretty average. Zinny is elite offensively, but poor defensively. How big is the gap between the two? I mean, Kivior is still a developing player. Yes, he's not necessarily what I describe as a really young player. He's, you know, early to mid-20s. I think he's 24 now. I think he's better than what people give him credit for. I think he's better than average, without a doubt. And I think that we have to look at a player like Kivior as a player that offers us great depth at left back, at left centre half, and he's going to continually improve. I think he's surprised everyone. I think he's performed to a level that no one really expected Jakub Kivior to perform to. And I think that what we will look toward with Kvyat is a player that is going to offer Arsenal really solid options in different games and tactically off the bench, perhaps some different options also. And he's not a left back, you know, he's a centre half. That is his best role. And he's being asked to play a left back position that is not his primary role. I can see DG in the chat. Deluded Gunner, make sure you go and check out DG. Absolute legend. It's good to see a few other content creators in the chat this morning, Harry and DG. Let's go to Jason says, given the focus of youth recruitment, do you think the academy players will get senior football opportunities given that we are looking to compete for titles regularly and need players to make an impact? If they're good enough, then yes. But Arsenal and Arteta in particular will only be looking to try and implement and integrate those youth players they deem are good enough, and that absolutely you cannot risk wrecking careers to just give minutes for the sake of minutes. There's been times we should have given those players minutes and we haven't done. And there are times where people think we should have and rightfully we didn't. But he needs to do more, and Arteta can do more. And I think with the investment in youth in the youth academy that we're going to see over the next however many years, hopefully we do see some greater success of integration from the youth side into the first team. And Amber Lee points out, Ethan Nwaneri is good enough without a doubt. Ethan Nwaneri is definitely one of those players that should be making that jump. And I look at players like Max Domen, who has a great future. I look at players like Chido Martin, who looks to have a great future as well. But it's also worth pointing out that we can overhype players very quickly. Brook Norton-Cuffey, Ruel Waters. These are players, of course, that had lots of hype. I don't necessarily think are going to make it. I remember players like Miguel Aziz, you know, looked to be at one point a player that people thought might make it into the first team, should be getting to minutes. He's now playing in something like the third tier of Spanish football, you know. So it can very quickly change. And it's very easy. We overhype players very quickly. You've got to be patient. You've got to manage them correctly. But it's really, really important because the gap between youth football and senior football is it's massive. It's huge. It's not even comparable, really. And that's why you see most youth players going on loan to like League One, League Two teams, because that's the level. And sometimes they don't even get starts or enough minutes there. You know, Charles Sagra Jr., Charlie Patino, currently playing for Swansea, they're not playing. And that's the problem. Mark says, since Zinchenko, when he plays, usually found roaming in the midfield, what about starting him there? He'd be a solid defensive midfield option with Kvyat and Tomiyasu. I don't buy this. I really don't. I get it. He plays there kind of stylistically when he starts at left back. But if you start Zinchenko in midfield, I think it changes the dynamic of the structure we're looking to achieve. He's not a midfielder. He's an inverted player that plays that very specific tactical role. I get why people want him to play there and don't want him to be a liability defensively at left back. But I just can't see it. And we've never done it. I can't think of a game where we've ever started him as a midfielder with a more natural left back behind him. Maybe we've made some subs and he's done that. But I don't think he's ever started a game for Arsenal in midfield. I know he does a different role for Ukraine. And there's a good reason for that. Because Ukraine don't play like Arsenal. It's a very different system. He has never started a game in midfield for Arsenal. And I think there's a very good reason for that. It's really easy to turn around and say, yes, he does play there for his country. But I just don't think it. I don't think it's the right role in this Arsenal setup. I don't think he would play the same role that when he plays in midfield for Ukraine. Just because you play in midfield for your country doesn't mean you can suddenly do it for your club in a very different system and philosophy as well. But yeah, he doesn't come close to Arsenal's level of midfielders. Like if you think about how good midfielder Rice is when you've got a fully fit Partey, Odegaard, you know, these are established some of the best midfielders in the world. Zinchenko doesn't come close to that ability in midfield, but he's very good at playing in the position that Arteta wants him to play as a progressor, as a suffocator of opposition back lines at times, in the way in which we can kind of, you know, play the ball around the box and keep them pressurized and held back and pushed back. But I don't think it would work starting in midfield for us. I could be proven wrong. Who knows? You never know. But I don't think it would work for us. I don't think he ever would start for us. I don't think there's ever a need to start him in midfield either. I think we'll be answering a couple more before we wrap up. If you haven't dropped a like on the video, please make sure you do. There's over 1,300 of you watching across all of our platforms. So please make sure you are dropping a like on the video, trying to help us reach 1K every single day. Dwayne says, Tom, does that mean that you think we have potentially outgrown Zinchenko? I think I've said this before. You know, I think there's a lot of question marks about Arsenal's recruitment sometimes about, you know, the fact we've signed players like Jesus and Zinchenko, and now we're saying we need to replace them. Well, when we signed those players, the aim was to get back into Champions League. Those players have helped us do that. Now we're looking to establish ourselves as title challengers and competitors to Manchester City. Well, both of those players were players that left Manchester City because they tried to level up from those players. So to try and then compete with the team that they've left is very difficult, you know. And I think, yes, there is an argument that we will need to upgrade upon those players. Does it mean that you necessarily sell them? I don't know. I think there's a place for Jesus in this team, even if he's not a starter, because I think he's a very good player. Is the same said for Zinchenko? I think less so, because you've got Tomiyasu, you've got Kivior, you've got Timber, and who knows? There's suggestions that Arsenal want to sign another left back. So I think with Zinchenko, there's more of a chance he goes, especially because he's only got 2 years left on his contract after this season, and Arsenal don't tend to like keeping their players on deals that are now going under 2 years. So I think it could be a very interesting summer window for Zinchenko. Izu says, Tom, you can only sign one Isak or Bruno Guimaraes. Isak. I mean, he's my number one striker target, if I can get anyone really, closely followed by Jokeres. So it would be Isak. Whereas I think in midfield, I think there are options in midfield, and we talked about those earlier on in the show as well. Quezzy says, Tom, what do you think about Cole Palmer in the left eight? I think he's best playing as far forward as possible, and he's never leaving Chelsea. Let's be real. They're never going to sell him. Ajmal says, I don't feel so confident today as Chelsea would play mid-blocks like our previous meetings. We struggle against the mid-block this season, and Gallagher pressing with the two lungs against our tired legs. Let's wait and see. It's going to be a very, very interesting game tonight. Very tactical game. The selection is going to be key. How Arsenal approach it. The early goal is going to be important. Chelsea got an early goal against us last time, remember, and that really did dictate the game. So I think that it's key to remember that. Last one from Boss, who says, Kimmich or Bruno? Kimmich. World-class, elite, established. And I think in the next 2 to 3 years would be a perfect midfield addition, whilst we then wait for the next big thing to come along as well. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate your time. Do drop a like, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful as always. And I look forward to breaking down tonight's game with you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I'll be back to talk all things Arsenal and Chelsea tomorrow morning at 8. So, I'll see you then. Have a great Tuesday. Enjoy yourselves. Stay relaxed. Stay calm throughout the day. And I look forward to it. And as always, of course, I don't know why I'm struggling with this outro so much. I've just kind of like waffled. But as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dip in, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.